Robbie answered softly. That old crier of Claif on Furnace Fell, as long as ivy evergreens shall twine, may sally forth at will from his ravine, and rouse the boatman with his human yell. Julie blinked back the same surprise I felt at the fact of this boatman spouting poetry. A poem he'd have memorized to amuse the folks he took on tours of the lake, but still. A ghost? She said. And I remembered Aunt Frankie joking about a ghost friend of Mom's who played piano at an old mansion in the park at home. I imagined Mom insisting that the ghost of the grizzled old character who'd ferried her across this English lake could have been enlisted to take us. Anna Page leaned close to Robbie and whispered in his ear, the sprinkle of grays at her part line a bit tacky. Although that was just me being tacky. Anna Page had no marriage to end first and never had. She could have as many doors as she wanted. She could paint them any color she chose, which she did. Even at 51, Anna Page took in men as often as I took in the Sunday paper and took what she wanted from them and set them out with the recycling bin. Or that was the way it sometimes seemed. Julie could have as many doors or men or anything else as she wanted by then, too, with her divorce from Noah filed. I was the only one of us with a marriage left, or with what passed for one. They say he killed someone, Robbie said to Anna Page, or to Julie. I wasn't sure which, but it was Anna Page's laughter that warmed the evening in response.
Lordy, did Ma pay him to say that?
She said to Julie and me. Then she delivered in a near-perfect mimic of her mother's southern accent, the Gatsby line our moms all whipped out at the slightest provocation.
You look at him sometimes when he thinks nobody's looking at him. I'll bet he killed a man.
I heard Mom's voice wrapped around the words, Mom's laughter.
Not a bloke, but a lady,
Robbie insisted, as he set his weight to the oars again.
His British wife. His British wife,
Anna Page repeated, charming him with the hint of tease that worked so well with men.
He had two, didn't he? Robbie said. One wife in India and a proper British wife as well.
He laughed uncomfortably, glancing my way as if his words might offend me when they wouldn't offend Julie or Anna Page. He thought I was Indian. People who aren't Indian always do.
Two wives,
he repeated more gently, staring shoreward with eyes as deep as the lake and a face that had seen as much weather, eyes that just might understand how two loves could be held in a single heart.
Well, that's the blather here, he said.
He dipped one oar and raised the other to ease us toward the pier, where he hopped out and secured the boat to a mossy post. The swan pair, watching suspiciously from a jetty of flat rocks on the other side of the boathouse, where the original pier must have been.
They say old man Wyndham, who killed his British wife, is the crier of Claif, the ghost who calls across to the ferryman at Nab. The only one who ever went to him, though, that poor bloke wouldn't speak of what he'd seen, and still he died the next day.
An awful animal sound broke the silence then, the bay of a wolf or a coyote, perhaps, deep and primitive. It had gotten dark so quickly.
"Course, another story has a monk taken a Bible across the lake on Christmas Day," Robbie said, "plying the ghost with candle, book, and bell, and confining him to the quarry and woods until men should walk dryshod across the lake."
"Couldn't just exorcise him altogether, I guess,"
Anna Page said. Robbie met her amused gaze and held it.
"Ah, but that'd spoil the gallery, wouldn't it? How's a body to boast he's been trailed at dusk by a hooded figure in a wood that can claim no ghost?"
The gentle lap of lake, the cheep-cheep and tit-tit-tit of evening birds added to the quiet as I removed the iron key and pushed open Mom's blue cottage door. Inside it was chilly and dim, the air fusty with the odor of the books in the glass-fronted cabinet left too long unopened, their pages unturned. A deep claw-footed slipper tub sat not in the bathroom but on a rectangle of limestone set into the wide plank floor between the